This is our midweek faith cortisone shot. Praise God. My mom used to get cortisone shots in her knee, and it would give her a pick-me-up for a while. Well, we're giving you your pick-me-up till Sunday. Praise God. We're blessed, aren't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you thankful God hears us when we pray?
Amen.
You know, it's not the act of prayer that we magnify. It's the God who hears our prayers that we magnify.
Right.
Amen? You know, there's lots of religions that they magnify the act of praying, but the problem is it's fallen on deaf ears. Because their God's not real, but ours is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's one God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He hears us when we pray. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them. We're going to go to, let's start in Exodus 15, 26, just to lay the foundation. We're in the midst of a healing series, preaching on healing. This is our fourth week on it. I do encourage you, if you've not been here, and even if you have, we need to get this stuff down in our heart. Because the Bible says in Romans 10 that faith cometh how? By hearing and what? Hearing. Not having heard. And so the way we're going to get faith for healing and get that solidified in our heart is to hear it over and over and over again. And so God wants to get something into you, praise God. And so you need to listen to these. So go back and take advantage of the live stream there on Family Church. SouthDayton.org, it'll be a blessing. But let's pray before we get in the Word. Make sure that what He wants said is said tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful. So thankful for the Word this evening. We can't thank You enough, Father, for all that You have done for us, for all that You have given to us. Lord, the Word is our help. Just like the Word is our help for our finances, the Word is our help for our bodies. So thank You, Father, for imparting revelation, wisdom, answers tonight. Father, hit bullseyes in people's hearts. Say something through me, Father, that would strike a chord in everybody's life exactly where they're at right now in their life, Father. Perfect timing of things that need to be said. And Lord, You'll get the praise and the glory for it. It's not about a man or the name of the church. It's about Jesus. And so we're thankful for our help tonight, Father. We give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, Exodus 15, in verse 26, I guess you could call it our golden text or the place where we kind of launched from. And I'm not going to do a lot of review because we got to get to some things tonight. But it says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in His sight, will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now notice the end of the verse though. For I am. Amen. I am. Well, I am means he is, because he said in Hebrews chapter 10, he says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God declares to the world that I am back then, He's still saying to the world, hey world, I am. Hallelujah. Well, what am He? Hallelujah. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That word healeth is the Hebrew word rapha. It means to mend, to cure, like a physician, to make thoroughly whole. He says, world, I want you to know I'm a healing God. I'm for you getting better in your body. Hallelujah. Aren't we thankful for that? So we saw that first of all, because if you're going to receive healing in your body, you have to first know that it's God's will. Because you can't have anything apart from God's will. If God says, I want you sick, then you have to sign up for sickness. If God says, I want you poor, then you can't sign up for prosperity. You have to sign up for poverty. Praise God. But if you find out in the Word that you can have something, that God signs it, you know, my son, he can't expect anything in his life that doesn't have dad's approval on it, right? He can want whatever. He can want to ride his bike in the road. He can want to, you know, jump off the roof into the pool and all sorts of different things and ideas that have come up. But if dad doesn't say yes, doesn't matter, right? Same thing with the Father. So it's important to know that it's God's will to heal. And He's saying, and I'm so confused as to why the churches I grew up in, the churches she grew up in, why the churches a lot of my friends and family are still in and grew up in, why they're so confused on this subject. God is declaring in Exodus 15, 26, He's taking a spiritual megaphone and He's telling the body of Christ, I am, which means I still is, the healer that wants to heal your bodies.
Amen.
Praise God. He's a healer. Hallelujah. We're so thankful for that. He's wonderful. And then we saw that the Old Testament saints, who weren't even considered children of God, they had a covenant of healing. You go back in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and you look at all the Bible says, if you'll do what I say to do, God said all these blessings will overtake you. Well, if you look at all those blessings, many of those had to do with divine healing. Well, thank God they had it, right? Yeah. But because they had it, we ought to shout and rejoice because we have a promise in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, that says we have a better covenant established upon better promises. So if the Old Testament people had at least healing, we get at least healing, but more. Praise God. It's just the truth. Why would God have a covenant of healing with people that he didn't even die on the cross for, but yet he gave his son for us? Why? So we can walk in sickness? No. If anybody has it more, we have it more because he gave us more. He paid more for us. Hallelujah. So we saw that. And then we saw last week that our healing comes through Jesus dying on the cross. That the body of Christ, and again, if you're not familiar with this stuff, you need to go listen because we just let the Bible do the talking around here. Because if you let me do the talking, something awkward and weird and something unconventional and uneducational is going to come out of my mouth and nothing's going to be good for you. See, I don't even know how to talk hardly half the time. I'm just telling you the truth. But if we stick to the Bible, it'll be your answer. It'll be your help. And we saw last week that, you know, a lot of people in the body of Christ, they're sold on salvation. They know Jesus died on the cross for their sins. I mean, they will just, they'll fight anybody on it. They'll debate anyone. Billy Graham could stand before a born-again believer and say, I don't believe you're born again. And they would say, I know I am. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And if I receive him, I'm saved. And we shout that from the rooftops. And we're excited about that. But we don't also understand, a lot of people don't understand that when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he die for your sin, he died for your sickness. And we saw that clearly last week, that Jesus, the Bible said in Matthew 8, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Well, where did he bear them or take them? He wasn't sick in heaven before he came down. We don't see him sick on the earth in his 33 and a half years on this earth. When did he become sick? Well, the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. When was the stripes laid on him? On the cross, praise God. And we saw it so clear in the Word that Jesus atoned not only for our sins, but our sicknesses. And if we could get our mind as sold out to that as we are salvation, the body of Christ would be a whole lot healthier. Amen. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, actually, I just feel the need in my spirit to go there. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, 28, talking about Jesus, and I just made a statement that was a heavy statement. I said that if the body of Christ would recognize that not only did Jesus die for their sins, but died for their sicknesses, a whole lot more people would be walking in health. Well, the Word tells us that here. It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, this is talking about communion. And he goes on in verse 29, says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, one way you eat and drink of the cup unworthily is to not do it by faith. By not understanding what the body and the blood of Jesus was meant for is drinking it unworthily. It's not just talking about having a bad attitude when you do it. Lack of faith is unworthy to God because the Bible says faith pleases him. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. So he goes on and says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now notice this, damnation to himself. Why? Not discerning the Lord's body. Well, there's many different ways to discern the Lord's body, but one way is if you don't discern the body of Christ, which the Bible says that he took his stripes, or the stripes of us, for us in his body so that we could be healed. If you don't discern that and understand that, you'll think sickness has to be yours. But you have to understand, he took it. He took it, praise God. So he said, if you don't discern the Lord's body, if you don't understand what Jesus' body did on that cross, which again, go back to last week, you'll get it solidified in your heart that not only did he died for your sins, but your sickness. Well, go on and look what it says in verse 30. He says, for this cause. What cause? Not discerning. Not discerning, not recognizing, not understanding that not only did Jesus die with on the cross for your sins, but that his body went through something on that cross. He said, not discerning the Lord's body will bring damnation. For this cause, many are weak, sick, and sleep. That's the progression. First people get weak, then they get sick, and then they die. That's what sleeping's talking about. Not talking about taking a nap. It's talking about a weak, getting weak, opening the door, getting sick, and then dying. That's the progression that sickness always leads to if it's not taken care of. He says, that cause, what cause? Not discerning, not understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know that Jesus on the cross bore your sicknesses, that's going to be the result. Absolutely. See, I'm so sold out that when symptoms or sickness tries to come on my body or my family's body, that's trespassing. Why? It was already paid for. It's like I told you about that Disney dining plan. You know, you go there and they give you table service meals. They give you quick service meals, which include, you know, sandwiches and burgers and different things. But then they give you snacks, which include pretzels and nachos and ice cream and different things. Well, when you pay for that plan, you get a little bit of all three. And yes, the table service meals are the best, where they serve the steak and the seafood and the nice buffets and different things. And they're the most expensive part of the plan. But not only is that part of the plan, the hamburgers and the turkey sandwiches and the turkey legs and I'm getting hungry. And I was just thinking, I better stop saying all that food. But anyways, the pretzels and the nachos and all that stuff is included in that plan. Now, the pretzels might not be as good as the steak, but you know what? I paid for the pretzels just as much as I paid for the steak. I'm not leaving the pretzels sitting behind the counter. Excuse me. Well, salvation might be the steak. Salvation might be the filet mignon of the spiritual food that's laid out, right? That might be the best, but you know what? Healing was paid for, so I'm not going to leave it on the table. But if you don't understand that Jesus died, and I'll tell you what, I'm not saying this from an elitist standpoint or a pedestal, because the only reason we would know anything is because we were shown it.
That's right.
But I'm confused why people don't know it, because it's all over his word.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you, and I speak by experience, not just to make a general vague statement to make an impact, the majority of the body of Christ, and I'll tell you what, the majority of the places you came from don't know a lick about this, and heads are shaking right now because it's true. Because people come up and say, I've never heard this stuff before. Well, neither did I until I heard it. Amen? Praise God. The majority of the body of Christ has no idea what Jesus did on the cross. They're all about the sin, but there's more than just sin. See, we need to walk in healing down here. Why? We're the body of Christ. We're the hands and the feet. We're the goers and the doers. We're waiting on God. God's waiting on us. He's done already what he needs to do. Well, we need to go. Well, how effective are we going to be sick and broke? Come on. That's why when these people say, oh, you're one of those health and wealth preachers, you're darn right I am, because the gospel's a health and wealth gospel. I'm not talking about getting in the ditch on health and wealth, you know, and things like that, but you're one of those prosperity preachers, you betcha, because my God paves the street with gold. He's a prosperity God. It's the truth. He's a healing God. Hallelujah. He said, I am the Lord. So yes, I'm a health and wealth preacher. But understanding it from the standpoint of this last day move and what our role is. Your mission, your life is a mission field. Where you go, people need to hear. People need to know. People need to see. You do realize you're the light of the world, right? You stand out. Well, I don't want to stand out sick. I don't want to stand out broke. I don't want to stand out depressed. I want to give people a reason to want the Jesus that I have. I want radiating off of me victory, health, peace, prosperity, joy, calmness, right? No fear. Hallelujah. Excuse me. So I want that radiating off of me. Praise God. So we need to walk in this stuff. But we won't unless we discern these things. So we saw that God's a healer. We saw that the Old Testament saints have it, which means we have it. We saw that Jesus paid for it. That's our doorway into healing. But now we're going to find out how to receive it. Amen. Because it doesn't matter what I remember when I say this, it doesn't matter that you have it. You have to know what you have and know how to access it. I had someone, it was Trishina from the Olean Church. She's been here a few times. I made mention about, you know, it doesn't matter what you have in life. It doesn't matter, right? Remember when I said I went out to dinner or went out to lunch with a friend, told him I'd pay for it, found out the restaurant did not accept credit cards, and I didn't think I had any cash on me, so I wasn't able to pay. Went back to my truck afterwards and found in the console of my truck I had like a $20 bill, and we were just at a diner, so I was, that would have definitely covered it and the tip. And so I had money to pay for that, but it didn't matter that I had it. What mattered is that I didn't know that I had it. And because I didn't know I had it, so it doesn't matter what you have in the Bible. It matters what you know you have. Amen? We looked at that this past Sunday. But anyways, I made mention of this. I can't remember if I said it here or not, but I made mention of it in Olean anyways, that New York State, I looked on the comptroller website, there's over $14 billion of unclaimed funds in New York State. Well, Trishina texted me and sent me a screenshot of a picture. She said, are you any of these Michael Andersons? I looked on there. I said, that's me. There's money that's mine that I didn't know about. You ought to get on there. I typed some of your names in. I did. I want to see. I want to go tell the church who got money coming to them, you know. And you need to get on there and look. But there's money on there. Well, that's money that belongs to me. But it doesn't matter that belongs to me if I don't know how to access it. But not only, here's the thing though, not only did I find out that it's mine, but I had to follow some steps and procedures to get the money to come to me. I don't know how much it is, little or a lot, but still, I'll tell you what, a little's better than nothing I had before, praise God. I don't want to just leave free money sitting there. And anyways, so that I had to fill out name information, all this stuff. I had to do something to access it. It wasn't even enough to find out that it was mine. I had to do something. Well, it's the same thing with healing. It gets you through the door to find out that it's yours, but then you got to find out, how do I access it? And I believe that next Wednesday we're going to find out how to keep our healing, if that's the way the Spirit of God so desires to lead us. But anyways, so let's find out how to receive our healing. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. A lot of this is interwoven with different things we've already looked at for, you know, the 6 years we've been in South Dayton. But you need to hear it over and over and over and over again. Paul said this, he said, it's not grievous for me to tell you the same things over and over and over again. He says, and by doing so, I keep you safe. You know, Caleb, we have a driveway that leads out to a road that people go 55, 60, 65 miles an hour on. But we have a long dirt driveway, so he has a nice place to ride his bike and turn around in the yard. And there's just certain spots in the driveway where he knows when he's out there riding his bike, he can't go past. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't just tell him that one time. I didn't just tell him one time. Why? Because the repeating of the instruction is what keeps him safe. The drilling it into his head. Don't you dare go past this tree, or don't you go past that pothole in the driveway where the puddle is. And just, I mean, how many times I tell you over and over, right, buddy? Over and over and over. He knows exactly where to go, where not to go. Why? Not because he heard it one time, because he heard it over and 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 over again. Amen. So Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, a certain woman, verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years, so she's sick in body, had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging or touching you, and you're saying, who touched you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, now the master is about to tell you how she got her healing. Amen? Amen. The master's about to take a sledgehammer to religion and smash the heck out of it and make it into smithereens. Praise God. Now, Jesus is somebody we can listen to. Amen. Jesus is somebody, he's the author and finisher of our faith. I often address him as master. I do that out of a term of reverence, telling him, listen, you are Lord of my life. A lot of people make him savior of their life and don't make him Lord of their life. Well, he's my Lord, praise God, he's my master. So when the master speaks, I can listen to him, and I can know exactly what he's saying is the way it is, and there's no questions of how it's going to be. He says, daughter, your faith made you whole. Yeah, praise the Lord. Your faith caused you to go from a place of sickness to a place of health. Yeah. Didn't even say anything about himself. Didn't say anything about the power of God. See, because the power of God is always available.
Yes,
it's always flowing. It's like electricity. You can walk in here and these lights can be off, but it doesn't mean that electricity is not present. You just haven't tapped into it. God is always the same. He's always powerful. He's always ready. He's always willing. Brother Hagin said this. He said, there's enough power in every sick room to raise up every single person out of every hospital bed. Just they haven't tapped into it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
They haven't tapped into it. Hallelujah. And God's always the same. And Jesus didn't say anything about how wonderful he was or how this was her lucky day and about the sovereignty of God. I'll tell you what, you listen to enough mainstream Christianity, you'll hear a whole lot about that sovereignty of God. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God is only sovereign to his word. He only can stick to what his word says. And so that's how sovereign he is. But he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Well, guess what? If her faith can make her whole, now here's a woman who probably is in no way in the position that you're in a Word of Faith church on a consistent basis, have guest ministers come in. In fact, she's sick 12 years. She doesn't even go out in public because she's got to go out and say it unclean, unclean. She bumps into anybody. It sends them into a ceremonial act of cleansing their body that was a pain in the rear for people, so she doesn't want to touch people. I'm sure she's embarrassed and shame, and she's sick and not feeling good. I don't know about you, but when I'm sick and not feeling good, I don't like going very many places. And so she's probably not in church, serving in church. So you're in a way better position. And the Bible says her faith made her whole.
Yeah.
What do you think your faith can do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Your faith can make you whole. Why? Because the Bible says God's no respecter of people. God didn't just look at her and say, oh, something special about her. No, he looked at her faith and said, there's something special about her faith.
Yeah.
Well, let's get our faith like that. Go with me to Mark 9:23 real quick. Just reading off some things, pointing some things out. How do we access healing? We access healing by faith, praise God. You know, we're thankful for the gifts of the Spirit. What do I mean by that? The working of miracles, special faith, gifts of healings. We're thankful, but that's as the Spirit wills. And I don't know the mind of God all the time and why certain times they manifest. I do know this, though, that Brother Hagin, Jesus told Brother Hagin that the gifts of the Spirit, which include gifts of healing, primarily were not given for the body of Christ. Why weren't they given for the body of Christ? Because Jesus was put on the cross for you, and you can access healing by the better way. See, it's a better way for a Christian to receive healing through faith because faith pleases God.
Amen.
See, when somebody comes up for a gift of healing, and when a gift of healing is in operation, there will be an instant manifestation of that promise. Those are the gifts, the nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When somebody comes up for the working of miracles, well, when that happens, there's an instant manifestation there. And that's as the Spirit wills. But thank God we can believe by faith for miracles. We can believe by faith for healings to be fixed. And actually, that's the better way. That's why, and you'll see in this message, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's why you'll see many people are left frustrated at healing lines when they come up. They get hands laid on them. They walk back and still feel the symptoms. They wake up the next morning and still feel the symptoms. And they think, oh, it didn't work. No, it's working. It's working. If you'll work it, it'll work. We have a better way to receive than a gift of healing. It's called faith. Why faith pleases Dad. Hallelujah. Faith pleases Dad. So Mark 9:23, look at this. Jesus said unto him, now let me just say this before I read this verse. Everybody here is facing different things. Everybody here is going through different things, been told different things by doctors, had different symptoms in their bodies. So, and sometimes those things can be scary. Now, you might say it's not healing I need, it's money I need, or it's a different situation. Well, praise God, all these things will apply. We're talking about healing tonight, but all these things will apply. So those things in your mind that are built up real big, those things right now that are built up in your mind that are mountains, that are standing in your way, that look like there's no way to get past, I want you to think about those things as I read this verse now, okay? Hallelujah. Here's your help. Jesus said unto him, if you, so now, in terms of what you've got in your mind and what you're thinking in your head and that mountain that you're looking at, that mountain that's scaring you, that's standing there looking scary and impassable and unmovable, that mountain that's there, Jesus is saying, if you. So if you can do something with that mountain, it can change. If you can believe, Jesus said. See that? If you can believe. He said, all things. Now, do you think Jesus slipped up and said the wrong thing? Or do you think he knew what he meant? I think he didn't make a mistake. That's just my thing, my thinking behind it. He said, if you can believe, he said, all things. Well, what are all things? Those mountains that are in your head. Those mountains that are in your life. that mountain of debt, that mountain of poverty, that mountain of sickness, that mountain of turmoil and conflict, chaos and fear and stress and anxiety. He said, if you can believe, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. Praise God. That verse gives me hope. There ain't no doctor's report that can trump that. There ain't no mountain of debt that can trump that. There ain't no natural situation that I can see with my eyes and feel in my flesh that can trump that verse. Right. Jesus trumps anything. Amen. He said, everything is possible if you can get your faith on it. Great. Just like that woman, 12 years, spent all that she had. The Bible says grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. Impossible situation. The medicine and the doctors of the time could not figure out her problem. In fact, it not only drained her of her body and her emotions, it drained her of her finances. She was in a desperate situation, but Jesus said, daughter, your faith. What did faith do? Faith trumped the doctor's reports. Faith trumped the financial report. Faith trumped all the wise people of the day, all the internet, what the internet could say, all what the symptoms could say, all what the natural eyes could say. Faith trumped it. And guess what? Faith will trump anything that you're facing today. That's why we're a faith church. That's why we hammer on faith over and over, because you need to be skillful in it. Why? Your all things depend on your faith. That's not Jesus, not me. He said, if you. Notice that big fat word, if. Yeah. It all rests on whether if you can believe it or not.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is awesome.
Amen.
Man, tell you what. Can believe. If you can believe. Well, I guess you better get in the believing category. Better get out of the doubting category, the griping category, the grumbling category, the moaning, the groaning, complaining category doesn't get results. But the believing category, all things are possible.
Yes, right. Amen.
Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, do you see that? Faith and patience inherited the promises. How is it going to come to you? Through faith. All things are possible to him that believes. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Go with me to James chapter 5. So now, we're talking about healing, how to receive our healing. James chapter 5 tells us how to receive our healing. James chapter 5 and verse 14 is where we'll go. Praise God. I love this question. I love this question in terms of whether healing is for us or not. James is asking them, is there anybody sick in your church? He doesn't just assume there is. Anybody see that, or is it just me? He's asking, is there anyone sick there? I don't know. I would. I'm guessing there might not be, because there's healing.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Good. Is any among you sick? Well, you don't have to beat yourself up if you are, because he gives you the answer. He says, now notice this. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You say, Pastor, why don't you anoint with oil? Well, if you really kind of study that out, it's talking about calling the elders of a church that can't get to a person that's in the church. Calling them and then going over to them. Because you're going to see the next verse. It's not the oil that has the healing power.
Right.
Your Crisco doesn't have anything special in it.
That's right.
Your canola oil doesn't have anything special in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this. It's kind of like this. The laying on of hands, the Bible says, the sick will recover. Well, when I lay hands on people, and you know, there might be a tangible healing anointing at times, but just by faith laying hands on people, it's not the act of laying hands on people that causes the healing. God causes the healing. So when it says, is anybody on you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, people that can't get there. And actually, if you look up that word sick, the first word, there's two words sick there. Well, verse 15 goes on and talks about the word sick. But those two words are different. Actually, that word there, that word sick, if you look it up, is the word powerless. The feeble ones that are in such bad condition that can't even get to a church, call for the elders of the church, they'll go over to them, and they'll bring oil. You say, what's the purpose of the oil? It's just a contact point of faith. What do I mean by that? Just something people can put their faith on. Just the same way we lay hands on the sick. It's something that at that moment people can use it as a contact point for a reference for their faith. Amen?
Amen.
And then also the word says you can do it, which would put power behind it. But here's the point I want to make in verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now that word sick is a different word than the first word sick. So it's not just talking about the powerless ones that can't get to church. It's talking about everybody as a whole in the body of Christ who's not doing well in their body. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You want to know the answer to your sickness? The prayer of faith.
Yeah. Amen.
The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. See, it's not people get hung up on the oil, and they get hung up on different things. No. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, not the oil. The oil doesn't save the sick. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Why? Because Jesus said all things are possible. There was no anointing oil for the woman with the issue of blood, but there was faith.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Praise God. I'm not against the anointing of oil. I'm just saying, you know, I would only do that if I was spirit-led. Praise God. But I know this, faith is always spirit-led.
Amen.
The prayer of faith will save the sick. Hallelujah. So then, how do we receive our healing? Through the prayer of faith. Well, where do we find the prayer of faith? Mark 11. Very popular, we know. Mark 11, 24. Go over there. Praise the Lord. He's wonderful. You know why a lot of people take supplements and vitamins? They don't just take it when, a lot of that stuff's for your immune system to build up things to get you strong. It's to help fight things off, right? It's not like when the sickness comes, all of a sudden, whatever, I'm not, a doctor, health nut or anything, so I don't know specifics, but just bear with me. But, well, then I'm going to start cramming the vitamin C, or then I'm going to start cramming the multivitamins. No. You take them as you go, right, to be healthy, right? Praise God. It's the person that, is eating right and living healthy that can ward off things a lot easier than someone that maybe just, the world's come down on them and then all of a sudden they have to just scramble to get. I'd rather be prepared.
Yeah.
Well, why am I saying this? Because these things that we preach on over and over again, they're meant to be things that boost up your spiritual immune system. So when the symptoms come to your body, or the devil knocks on the door with some symptoms, or symptoms of poverty, symptoms of sickness and disease, you're ready for them. And then you're not having to scramble, oh my gosh, what do I do when sickness comes? No, you're prepared and ready, right? That's what boot camp is for. So when they go out onto the war zone, they're not, oh my gosh, what do I do? How do I use this gun? No, they've already been trained, so when it comes, they just attack, praise God. And when you get this stuff in you, the people that are students of the Word, that's why Jesus told Timothy, or told Paul through in the book of Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. He's saying, know the Word, get the Word in you, be a student of the Word. Why? So when the attacks come, you have something to ward off the attacks with. So many people scramble last minute because that's the way we do in our natural lives. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't want to live like that spiritually. Scrambling to try to find out. Listen, there's times when there's life or death is on the line, or when a decision needs to be made, you better be ready.
Right. Amen.
I've had situations show up where it required immediate faith, immediate words to turn that thing around. Well, that was not the time to sit around and say, okay, the steps are, what do I do again when this happens? No. Get it in you. That's why we teach this stuff over and over, to get you skilled. You know, the Bible says endure hardness like a soldier. You know the Bible calls you a soldier?
Yes.
I mean, seriously, don't get me started on that.
Oh, come on.
I feel a tug to get started, but I shouldn't get started on that. But this is Wednesday night crew. And I always say the Wednesday night crew, you're not going anywhere no matter what I say. You came out on a Wednesday.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. But you know what? Soldiers are not their own. Soldiers don't have opinions.
Yeah, well, that's good.
They don't. Soldiers show up on time or they're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's true, right? Soldiers are prepared. They're ready or they get in trouble, right? Praise God. We'll leave it at that. I'm not going to dive any further. We want to keep you happy tonight. But anyways, he says you're a soldier. Well, what does a soldier do? A soldier, an effective soldier, is one that's well-trained and prepared.
Amen.
When the battle comes. right? They're not sitting there trying to go through the steps of, okay, I load my rifle. Okay, wait a minute. The first step is, okay, this. No, no, no. Just, I mean, you do it where it's in the dark. You can grab that magazine, throw it in. No, everything works on that rifle. I mean, you're ready to go. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, somebody attacks you. Okay, what do I do when they attack me? Okay, block with this. No, no, you're just acting. Nah, get them, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, now this is the prayer of faith. What does the prayer of faith do? Saves the sick. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's called the prayer of faith. That verse right there will save the sick. It'll save you. What does that mean? Take you off your sick bed into health. Praise God. So, if that's the case, I want to real quick, before we close tonight, I want to look at the prayer of faith, keys that are found in the prayer of faith. If the prayer of faith will save the sick, it'll also save your poverty as well, too, by the way. So are you ready for keys to the prayer of faith?
Amen.
Amen. Because the prayer of faith will save the sick. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. All things are possible to him that believeth or him that's in faith. We receive the promises of God through faith and patience. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. The first key to the prayer of faith. And what do I mean the prayer of faith? The prayer of releasing your faith and knowing that you're going to get the result. That it's coming, guaranteed. Well, there's keys to it. The first key to the prayer of faith is that whatever you're releasing your faith for must be God's will.
Amen.
For you to have a platform of faith, just for example like Caleb, if he wants to do something, to have a true understanding of that I can do it, know that dad's or that I'm not going to get in trouble, that it's going to be safe, that I'm going to enjoy this. If he can get dad's approval on it, he knows there's safety that comes with it. He knows that there's a blessing that comes with it. It's the same with us. The very first thing when it comes to the prayer of faith in Mark 11:24 is that it has to be God's will. It has to be God's will. Well, 1 John 5 and verse 14 says this. This is the confidence that we have in him. You know what's wonderful about the Holy Ghost? Is I try to be spirit-led when it comes to music around here. That's why, you know, sometimes people have given me songs that are wonderful that I love listening to when I'm in my truck or, you know, at home or just driving around or whatever. But they're just not, the Holy Ghost hasn't given me a green light to do them here. They just wouldn't work in our service, you know. You say, well, why? I don't know. I just know how to follow the Spirit, right?
Amen.
And an example, like, so if you give me ideas and I don't use them, it's not because I think the song's bad. In fact, I like them because it opens my eyes and ears to a lot of songs that I'd never heard before. But if I don't get a green light in my heart, that's why we don't do them. It's not because I don't enjoy them or think they're good songs. But it says here, this is the confidence, and we did that song tonight, Lord, You Hear My Prayer. And it's crazy because when I was getting ready for service tonight, that song was on my heart to play it. And I was saying, I wonder why we're going to do that song. And I thought, oh, wait, I'm the preacher. I know what I'm saying tonight. I'm going to preach on the prayer of faith. That's why we're doing that song.
Amen.
To get us ready to receive. Praise God.
Lord.
And, you know, it might not be the music might not be what you enjoy or might be, you know, in the sense of what you get your flesh going or excited, but you know what? It brings us into a place of receiving. And that's really what music ought to be about. And that's really the problem with a lot of churches. And say, you talk about a lot of churches. Well, I'm not saying specific ones or naming names, but I'm telling you, I roll or run around in church circles. I know what's going on out there in the body of Christ. And a lot of times they'll have a big spectacle and a big smoke and light show, and it's all flesh and there's no anointing on it. It's true. Now, I'm all about it. I can't wait till it's not just me up there with a guitar. I'm thank God for the ladies that sing. I mean, they carry the whole tune up there. And I'm excited for when we have a worship team and different things and more to look at and stuff. But we're never going to sacrifice the anointing for the flesh.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, there's people, and this is really prevalent in the Olean area. It's interesting to see. For those of you who are visiting, I also pastor Family Church in Olean on Saturdays and Tuesday nights. And it's interesting that in Olean, there's a lot of churches. But I've looked at a lot of the churches. I've watched their services on live stream. I've talked to people that are faithful in the Olean church that have been to these other churches. And one of the characteristics of some of these churches is they'll have hour to an hour and a half worship services. I'm talking just the music. And I watched them where they got the smoke and they got the light. I mean, I'm serious. They got the smoke. They got the different colored lights. And I'm not saying I'm against that stuff, but I'm against when the anointing's not there.
Yeah.
And they'll sing songs literally for an hour and a half and preach the word for about 15 minutes. And people have come to the Olean Church, have heard the word of God, and have told me, they've said this to me, I've never heard anything like that before. Well, that's not bragging on me. You need to understand that. I'm just reading from the manual. Ladies and gentlemen, my job is simple. I just plagiarize what's already been written. So when I say that, I'm not magnifying me, but I'm magnifying the word. It's because they're starving and they've never heard the word like that before. But they'll say, I've never heard the word. You spoke. I've had people in the service bawling their eyes out as I'm preaching because every point I'm making is striking a chord in their heart. I mean, God is dealing with stuff that they've been in their church for years and never been dealt with. Why? Because the Spirit of God's not there. The Word's not being taught. They'll come to a place where someone's hearing from God, preaching the Word, and things are being rattled off, and they're sitting there in tears, and I never see them again, and I get report because the music's not good enough, and I'm not kidding you. That's what they say. The music's not good enough. And it's not good music, and I'm not saying that. I mean, we worship Jesus, but I don't have any super skill singing or playing, and we don't have a huge worship team. I get that. But what's more, we need to major on what's important.
That's right, right?
I've yet to find the worship team that traveled with Jesus.
Come on.
Can't find it.
Yeah.
He never even mentioned it.
That's right.
He never even mentioned a music team.
That's right.
Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, never mentioned once at his meetings about the worship. But the word was magnified.
Amen.
And see, people, that's just the culture in America, and people miss out on the wrong thing. So I got off onto that rabbit trail. For some reason, somebody needed to hear that. Maybe you get disgruntled. Maybe it's someone that's newer here and you haven't been around very long and you wonder what's going on. Or maybe it's someone in their own church. You're getting disgruntled with the music. You wish there'd be more. Be thankful for the feeding you get every time you're here. Because every time you're here, you get a 5-course, 5-star meal that feeds you. It's not the music that's going to heal your bodies. It's not the music that's going to set you free. It's the Word of God that's going to set you free. Praise God. So thank you, Jesus, for telling us that. But he said, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that means what he said, what he's put his stamp of approval on, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, notice that, whatsoever we ask, if we know he hears us, how do we know he hears us? The verse before told us, if we ask according to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Do you realize that your prayer life can be 100% success rate?
Yes. Come on.
Now, you've heard the term Hail Mary, right? And the Catholics pray Hail Mary prayers, you know, and they have a saying that goes with that. I'm not talking about, I mean, that's where this term comes from, but the term Hail Mary is also used in football. When a team's desperate at the end and they just chuck that football up in the air, right? And they're just hoping that it comes down in their guy's hands, right? And it doesn't work very often, but when it does, it's like a miracle. And they call it a Hail Mary. They're just throwing up a Hail Mary. That's what Christians do with their prayer life. Oh, I hope it lands on him. I hope he hears me. I hope he answers me. Well, see, if God told you in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, come boldly to my throne, a Hail Mary is not something where a coach on the sideline is standing there saying, this is going to work. Oh, I'm confident. If there's anything I would wish, I would like to be in a position of right now, I hope we're in a position of a Hail Mary. No. They're knowing in the back of their mind, it's a low chance that this is going to work. I hope it works, but it's a low chance that this is going to work. So if God told us, come boldly to his throne that we may obtain and receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need, that means receiving of him by prayer. You can't come boldly throwing up Hail Marys, because Hail Marys are not bold. They're taking a shot, taking a chance. So he says, come boldly. Why can you come boldly knowing you're going to obtain and receive if you follow this verse? He said, if you ask according to my will, he said, whatsoever you ask, you'll have it. You can have a 100% success rate in your prayer life if you'll do things right. So number one, with the prayer of faith, you got to make sure it's God's will. Well, praise God, when it comes to healing, the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. We know his will on it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Healing is who God is. It was for the Old Testament, and it was for us. Praise His name forevermore. So number one, if you're sick, how do you get healed? The prayer of faith will save the sick. Hallelujah. Well, the first thing you need to know is if it's God's will. Is it God's will? It sure is. It sure is. What do we talk about? Knowledge births faith, right? If you're still unsure if it's God's will to heal your body, you need to go back and listen to the last 3 weeks over and over and over again until you're so sick of my voice that you say, I don't ever want to hear him again. That's when you know you'll get it. Praise God. Because I hope that takes a long time. Amen. I don't want you sick of me. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. So number one key of faith is it has to be his will. Now go back to Mark 11, 24. Just have a couple more here and we're done. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Now notice this. When you pray, that's a time frame. That's a moment in time. That's the when you pray. You should not get to the when you pray until you first settled it in your heart what His will is. Because when you know His will, you have faith for it. Because the Bible says, when you pray, believe. You see that? When you pray, now get this, when you pray the prayer of faith for healing, you're praying the prayer of faith for healing because you're not doing well in your body. That's why you're praying the prayer of faith. So you're praying the prayer of faith with symptoms, with doctor's reports, with diseases, with different things that are in your body. You're praying it, but He says, when you pray, now remember, the when you pray is exactly when you're sick. He says, when you pray for this to work, you have to believe. He's saying when you're sickest, it was when you're praying. I'm believing that when you're crying out to God, it's because you've had enough of whatever's going on. So He's saying in that moment of time, when things are not going well, when things are not doing good, for this prayer to work, you have to believe you receive it. That's mind-boggling to our flesh and our mind. It's totally incomprehensible if you don't receive it by your heart. The things of God are not meant to be received up here. They're not to be received in here. They're meant to be received in here in your heart. The things of God are spiritually discerned. They can't be naturally discerned. The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the mind. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Well, He said, crazy, whoo, blow your mind. He said, when you're sick, when the doctor says this, when this is going on in your body, if you want this to work, when you pray it, you believe you got your healing at that moment.
That's right. Amen.
You are sold out in your mind. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it by faith. I hooked that thing. It's mine. Yeah. But see, most people are looking to the manifestation when they're going to believe it. And what did Jesus tell doubting Thomas? Thomas, you believed because you saw. But blessed are they which believe and have not seen. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith.
Amen.
And that's why I told you. You know what faith giants have a characteristic of? They have X-ray vision.
Yeah, that's good.
They have X-ray vision. They can see through the natural. They can see through the symptoms in the doctor's reports. They can see through the checkbook and the bills. And they can see to the healing that's in the Word and the prosperity that's in the Word. And they can say, ooh, that's mine. I receive that now.
Yeah.
Say, well, I still have symptoms in my body. You still received it by faith in the spirit realm. See, until you receive it by faith in the spirit realm, it'll never show up in the natural realm. It first must be received in the spirit realm while the natural realm is telling you you're a fool. While the natural realm is telling you there's no healing available. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. If you can do that, the end of that verse will come to pass, and you shall have them. Praise God. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. You have to believe that you receive it. You have to say, if you believe that, praise God, I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my healing. I believe, and your body might be sick. You say, I believe I receive my healing. Strength's coming to this body. I got it. Praise God. I got it. Hallelujah. Well, Romans 12 and verse 2 will help you with this. You know what needs to become your guide? Is the Word. The Bible calls the Word the law of liberty. When you look into it, it's like a man looking into a natural glass and he sees himself. Well, the Word needs to be a mirror. What do I mean by that? Whatever the mirror says, you don't argue with it. No matter how much the natural wants to get you to argue with it, I told you my story years ago when I was trying to impress the girls on the playground. And I had them laughing. I thought, my goodness, I am just one regular cut up here. I am just joke, Mr. Jokester. And I went home and looked in the mirror, and there buried in the corner of each side of my mouth was Oreo cookie. Just plastered on that. And now, if you'll be around my son when he eats cookies, you'll see he got my traits. Praise God. Buddy? Just cookies buried right in the corner of his mouth all the time. Well, I went and looked in the mirror, and as much as I wanted to argue with that mirror, as much as I wanted that mirror to not be true, as much as I was just thinking, oh, it would be nice, the mirror doesn't lie. As much as your situation will tell you you're not healed, it's impossible. The doctors have said this. This is what's happened to so-and-so, and this is what the report says. As much you need to just say, the Word is my mirror. I'm believing the mirror over anything else. See, I could have left that mirror, gone back out to that playground with those girls, and said, you know what? I don't want to believe that, and I'm not going to do anything about that cookie in my, because I'm not even going to believe that was ever there, and I can go out there and struggle. Well, you can go out and struggle and not believe the Word, but I'd say this, believe the Word because that's your help. Amen. Renew your mind. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Well, what do you renew your mind to? What the Word says. By His stripes you are healed. Amen. He heals all your diseases. You need to get so sold out to that when you go to the prayer of faith and release it, you know, man, as soon as I open my mouth, healing's mine. Healing's mine. Healing's mine. I receive that by faith. I receive that by faith. Healing's mine. Praise God. Praise God. Doesn't mean you deny your circumstances, but you know, it's kind of like this. If somebody asks you how you're doing or how you're feeling, nobody's asking you to be a liar. But somebody is asking you to put a little faith with your response because we're required to do that. You know, if I come in here and my legs, I'm like this, but my foot's pointing that way, that's going to hurt. And you're going to ask me how you're doing, I'm not going to sit here and smile and say, man, I've never been better. That's lying. God didn't give us faith to flush our brains down the toilet. I'm going to say, you know what I'm going to say to you? I'm going to say, you know, I've never been in more pain in my whole life. This is the worst thing I've ever felt. But you know what? Healing's mine. And it's not going to last for long. And it's turning around and my leg's going to be better than ever. That's what I'm going to say. That's called adding faith to it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Man, I've seen some of those injuries in football. Man, that just make me about throw up my mouth. It's nasty. The worst thing you've ever seen in your life. Well, to renew your mind, get in the Word on healing scriptures. What do I mean? Go back these last 3 weeks and write down all those healing scriptures. Meditate in them. Feed on them. You know how, you know, you're sitting there watching TV? At least, you know, here's my problem, which is why it's a good thing I don't watch a ton of TV, because when I do, I have to eat something. When I go to the movies, I refuse, well, I shouldn't say this, I've done it before, and it was the most torturous thing I've ever been through, to not have popcorn in my lap, eating it. But you know what you're doing that whole time? You're just feeding yourself. Well, why don't you sit there and feed your spirit? By His stripes, I'm healed. He Himself took my infirmities, right? Praise God. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus on the cross. Praise God. Just keep feeding on that and getting stronger and stronger. Renew your mind. So the first key is it has to be His will. The second one is you have to believe it when you pray. You'll believe it when you pray by getting your mind renewed to the Word. And the last one, the key to faith, and this is where people really stumble and trip up. You could also call the prayer of faith the prayer of patience. That is, when I hear that word, I'm like, that's a dirty word. Don't say that word, patience. I don't like patience. Well, we better get acquainted with patience if we're going to become acquainted with our answer.
Amen.
Hebrews 6 and verse 12. We already looked at it once, but we'll look at it again. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the marathon is not lost at the starting line. Everybody at the beginning of a race has a chance to win it. A football team, I mean, seriously, the best part about the end of a football season is my football team now is in the exact same position as everybody. 0-0, we haven't lost yet. It's great. Until they play, right? The marathon is not lost at the starting line. The prayer of faith and the faith battle is not lost at the beginning. That's when there's the excitement and the spunk and, oh, I'm going to receive this. Where it's lost is the next day, the next week, the next month. That's where it's lost. And actually, during that time is when the devil will come and accuse you of things.
Sure.
Hebrews 6, verse 12 says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, and we saw the prayer of faith. But notice what goes with faith, and there's something there, patience. Well, Sue, I know I'm having to jump around here. If you go back to Mark 11, 24, so he said, faith and patience inherit the promise, not just faith. How much faith does it take to ask God for something? Now, it does take people sometimes faith to begin a conversation with God, but it shouldn't take much faith to ask God for something that you need. At least I don't think. It should be simple, right? And if you're at that point where you can't even open your mouth and talk to him, man, you better get over that real fast and start cultivating a relationship with him. But asking God for something, how much faith would it take if you released your words and instantly the manifestation came? Not much faith at all. Because you would know, hey, as soon as I say it, it's coming. Like, I'll just start saying it. Well, the Bible doesn't say that's how we receive. And in Mark 11, 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and tomorrow you have them.
No.
And 5 minutes later, you'll have them. A week later, you'll have them. No. It says if you'll do those things, you'll have them, but it doesn't tell you when you'll have them. Because you have to understand the having, a lot of times, the having has a lot to do with things in the natural realm that need to be shifted.
Sure.
Things need to be moved. Things need to be put into place. Things need to be removed. Think about different things with money. There might be a job that's going to be the manifestation of your blessing, but yet someone else has to be moved out of the position. A position has to be opened up, praise God. I mean, a whole lot of things have to happen. Not only that, but there's a devil that hears you when you pray. And he comes to bring opposition and comes to hinder things. So there's a natural progression of faith that has to take place. But when you settle in and understand and become acquainted with patience, it won't throw you off.
Yeah, that's good.
He said, faith and patience, he said, if you'll do those, you'll have them. Now, Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. I want to show you what to do in that patience side of faith. You know, when I had my, what year was it, the appendix thing? 12. 2012, when I almost died, my appendix ruptured, and 3 days later, I went to the hospital. Well, I was a hurting unit, told you that story, poison all throughout my body. What it normally takes a day and a half for an appendectomy, took me 2 weeks to get out of the hospital, and then when I got out of the hospital, things actually got worse. Well, when I was in the hospital, I remembered the prayer of faith will save the sick. Well, I was sick. I wanted to be saved. So I went through this progression. You know, I know God's a healer. I've spent time with him in his word. I know him. Praise God. And, you know, I don't have to wonder if she likes to shop. It's evident. Well, I've spent time with her, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to wonder, is God a healer? I've spent time with him. Of course I know about him.
That's right. That's
Amen. Right. Praise God. Oh. Why do people wonder sometimes you haven't spent enough time with him?
Yeah.
Ouch. I know, ouch. I hope it hurt enough to make you change. You haven't spent enough time with them. And so I'm laying there sick, and they're telling me my body's not going to be right for a year, and some things won't be right forever because of waiting so long to go to the hospital. And I said, I mean, what the Word says. The Word says he heals all my diseases. All things are possible if I believe, and my God's a healer. So I released my faith for that prayer of faith. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. I mean, I remember the night it was. I said, in the name of Jesus. See, I had to come down off the medicine. I'm so glad Grandma Alice has not saved her text messages, because I was texting Grandma Alice when I came out of surgery, and she said I said some doozies of a thing when I was. And so you just don't need to ask her what I said. Just keep that. You just don't say anything, Grandma. You don't. Okay, well, you just stay quiet, Grams. Praise God. But I had to come off my medicine before I got into faith and to become coherent. Well, as soon as I did and got my mind about me, I released my faith. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing. I thank you what the doctor is saying is not true, and my body will be completely healed from head to toe. I'll be stronger and better than ever. Well, when I released that, you know, guess what? I got off that prayer, and I was crying and hurting and in pain. Woke up the next day crying and hurting and in pain. I remember when they let me out of the hospital. If you were here the week after I got out of the hospital, I came to church, you'd have known I should not have been here. I was as white as a ghost. I shut that service down like 20 minutes into it. I said, I got to go or I'm going to fall flat on my face. But I wanted to have a faith action. I remember coming here, and it was so painful getting a suit on over the where they had the incision and different things. And I remember getting home I don't remember how long after it was when I was home that the pain in my stomach got even worse, and I was on the floor in a fetal position. I mean, here I'd released my faith, got let out of the hospital. I drove myself back down to Warren, and I'm not kidding you, I literally walked into the emergency room, couldn't get there any further. It's a miracle I even got there, and fell on my face again. This was after the surgery, and they had to tend to me and do different things. And then all of a sudden, I started breaking out with these sweats that I've never had before. For 2 weeks, anytime I dreaded going to sleep, because every time I'd go to sleep, I'm not talking about waking up just a little wet. I'm talking about waking up like I had just jumped in a swimming pool with my clothes and the bed was completely soaked. Couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. Went to the doctor, said, we don't know why this is happening. My point is that I released my faith weeks ago, that by his stripes I'm healed, that from head to toe I'm healed and whole, but things got worse for me, but didn't shake me. Why? Because I'm well acquainted with patience. That the devil is going to kick up a dust storm. And the devil's going to just keep... That's why when people actually get faithful, the hell gets released on them. Why? The devil's trying to see how serious you are. Right. Yeah. So these things happen. Right. And you know what didn't change? Mark 5:28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I'm going to pull this up in the Amplified. If you guys are aware of how to do that, that would be great. If you don't know how, don't worry about it. Mark 5:28. I'm going to pull that up in my Bible. For she kept... Oh, thank you. Praise God. For she kept saying... She kept saying... See, she heard of Jesus. She said, I'm getting my healing today. She walks out the door, and immediately, you know, that's the woman with the issue of blood. The fear of... Oh, I've already tried so many things. Oh my gosh, I'm out in public. Oh my gosh, there's tons of people around Jesus. I'm going to be so afraid. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you need to just tackle fear right between the eyes. Whatever's making you afraid, do whatever's making you afraid. Why? Fear is of the devil. It's suppressing you. It's trying to hurt you. It's trying to keep you down. That's why I ride roller coasters now. I'm not kidding you. I was so terrified. I said, I'm sick of being afraid. Get me on that thing. First one I ever rode was a Superman at Darien Lake. That's a pretty good one. You know, got on that one, and Pastor Tim is not a fun one to ride with your first time. As we were going up the hill, I thought my best friend would be nice and encouraging, and he kept saying, my God, look how high we are. Can you imagine if we fell from here, Pastor Mike? He said that the whole way up. Oh, man, I wanted to kill him. But you know what? I tackled that fear. I don't like being afraid of things.
That's right.
I remember being, you're going to laugh, but man, that still creeps up on me, fear of the dark in the woods. And so I got to the point where I just go out there in the middle of the dark and go stand there out in the middle of a flashlight in the middle of the woods and just stand there. And I just take it all and say, why? You're weird. No, I just hate being afraid of anything. I hate it because fear's of the devil. Fear's of the devil. And you know that fear was creeping on her. Oh, you've already tried everything. What are people going to think? You're supposed to be shouting unclean. How are you going to get into the crowd? But you know what? Didn't go with the circumstances. You don't think it was playing on my mind? My God, I just released my faith. The doctors are telling me I'm going to never be normal and that things are going to last for a year, and it's sure looking like that in the natural. I'm getting sicker and sicker. Things are happening they can't explain. The medication that I was on, there wasn't a side effect. They said, it's not the medicine you're on. We don't know why you're sweating like that. Well, it was a spiritual thing. It was messing with me.
Sure.
And you don't think in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man, is this how it's going to be forever? It's a tough place to be in. But you know what? I did what she did. I just kept saying. She kept saying, 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 if I only touch his garment, If I only touch his garment, I'll be restored to health. All I got to do is touch him. All I got to do is touch him. What do you do after every day you wake up? Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. The symptoms get worse. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. 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 A week goes by. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Healing is mine. A month goes by. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. That's what I was doing all that month of recovery. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I don't care what the doctors say. I only care what you say, Father. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Why? Just kept saying it, kept saying it. Why? Because the devil keeps saying and saying and saying, so I need to outsay him.
That's right.
I'm going to get the last word, not him.
Yeah.
He's telling me, you're never going to be, you're never going to be, you're never going to be. And I'm telling him, yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. You don't get the last word, I do, devil.
That's
kept
right.
saying, why? Because I'm building my faith up. I'll have what I say. Mark 11, 23, I'll have what I say, I'll have what I say. So what you do after you release that faith, you settle in and you get comfortable in patience.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, I don't care how long it takes to come because I've already received it by faith. Doesn't matter if it's a week. Doesn't matter if it's 2 years. It's coming. And when it does, it'll be perfect timing. And it'll be glorious glory to God. And the devil, you're going to pay double for your trouble. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, were you fed tonight? I hope so. I hope so. That was the word. If you weren't fed, man, go ahead and just feel and see if you even have a pulse. I'm not even sure you're alive back there if you weren't fed tonight. Praise God. I'm just saying the word is rich. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We thank you.